This crisis over the spying scandal has taken another dramatic turn too yesterday when Jakarta suspended military and intelligence cooperation with Australia, including cooperation on people smuggling operations.
We have recalled our ambassador back to Jakarta. We are not only reviewing our cooperation with Australia, we are actually already implementing the downgrading of our bilateral relations with Australia. Again, we are not the party that is bringing this issue up. It is Australia that has brought the matter up.
That's Indonesia's Foreign Minister Marty Natalegawa. Well, cooperation on smuggling issues, including combined maritime patrols and joint military operations, are off until the Australian government takes concrete steps to resolve this matter. Indonesia upping the pressure on the Abbott government. Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono writing a letter to Tony Abbott and urging him to give a quick and considered response. Hugh White is Professor of Strategic Studies at the Australian National University. He joins us from Canberra. Hugh White, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. This is now a diplomatic standoff, no doubt about that. Indonesia wants more from Tony Abbott. They're pretty much laying it out there for him. He made it clear he's not going to back down. What happens now?
I think in the end, Tony Abbott has to ask whether the cost to him of backing down is greater to him than the cost of making some concessions and sticking with what he's doing and wearing whatever Indonesia throws at him. And I think he's going to find that something that looks a lot like a back down is going to end up being less painful for him in the long run. So I think Abbott is in a bit of trouble on this.
Well, Indonesia's throwing plenty of at him, I think. I think it was a bit of a surprise, the strength of the Indonesian president's response yesterday when he ordered his country's troops to stop joint exercises, to suspend all military cooperation, in fact, which includes military cooperation over people smuggling. In a practical sense, Hugh, what does this mean?
Look, I think they haven't thrown as much at us as they might have. I certainly wasn't surprised by the strength of the response, because from what SBY was saying, it's not yet clear that they're closing down police cooperation on the people smuggling, which is probably overall more important than the military cooperation. So I think there is.
In fact, I think they haven't done that.
That's my impression. But of course, they've still got that in their back pocket. So I think, you know, Tony Abbott shouldn't take any comfort from that. That's a shot they've still got left to fire. Look, obviously, this is going to make it harder to achieve Tony Abbott's, headline objective of stopping the boats. I don't think it's necessarily going to result in a huge surge of, increased rate of boat arrivals or anything like that. If it does, that's going to be particularly bad. But I think, you know, in the end, there's a broad range of factors that are affecting that. But it's also, I think, because Abbott's made such a thing of the relationship with Indonesia as the sort of almost the keystone of his foreign policy, that the kind of atmospherics we've got at the moment are going to be very uncomfortable for him, whatever happens.
So what the president did do was announce a halt on intelligence sharing that will have some impact on people smuggling matters, but more broadly, I think, counter-terrorism. A joint military exercise is suspended and other cooperation to combat people smuggling. Now, in terms of the military cooperation, can you give us a sense of the level of that between Indonesia and Australia more generally? We know at the moment there is one joint exercise about to begin, but broadly, is this a big issue?
Look, it's not a huge issue. It's anything like the kind of relationship, obviously, we have with the United States, for example. What we have is a series of bilateral and, in some cases, multilateral combined exercises with the Indonesians, which we do mainly for diplomatic purposes. We're not doing them because we, desperately need the actual military experience of the exercise. We want to demonstrate that we have that kind of relationship with Indonesia. It's a diplomatic loss. It's damage to the texture of the relationship that we're no longer doing those exercises. It's not going to actually undermine the capabilities of the ADF. But of course, the symbolism, the diplomatic aspects, are very important. Managing our relationship with Indonesia, including managing the military-to-military relationship, is a very big part of living with a big neighbour. And that's what the Indonesians are now saying they're not prepared to do.
It's 7:07 on Breakfast. We're speaking with Hugh White, Professor Hugh White, about this downgrading of relations and cooperation between Indonesia and Australia announced by the Indonesian president yesterday. In terms of military-to-military relations, Hugh, between Indonesia and Australia, have they fully recovered since Australia backed East Timor independence in 1999? Because that was a low point for sure.
Look, it absolutely was, and no, I would say they haven't. They have been building up again gradually over the last 4 or 5 years, but I do think we've never returned to the level of the trust and engagement that characterised the relationship in the 1990s up to 1999. And it's worth bearing in mind that in the background of every Indonesian decision maker on what's happening today, the memory of 1999 will be looming very large. We have our own vision in Australia of what happened in 1999, where we see ourselves as being the good guys. Mm. But in Indonesian perspectives, there's a very strong view that Australia set out to humiliate Indonesia in 1999, and that's even so to speak, the good guys in Indonesia think that, not just the, you know, the sort of the people who did the terrible things in East Timor, but across the board in Indonesia, there's that view. So I do think that looms very large in their perspectives, and is one of the reasons why they're so hypersensitive on the issue that's arisen.
Well, you I'm sure have very clear memories of that time. You were around the table there as the cooperation was trying to be sorted out, or the issue between East Timor with East Timor and Indonesia was being negotiated with President Habibie and President John Howard. How do you think this crisis between Australia and Indonesia compares with the crisis over East Timor?
Look, I don't think we're yet at that stage. As you say, I was there. It was a very tense time. There were real risks that Australia and Indonesia could end up on the other side of a shooting match in East Timor in 1999. It seemed to me at the time, and seems to me now. I don't think we're there yet, but I think one of the problems we have to recognise is that this is an inherently fragile relationship. It's inherently subject to misunderstandings from both sides of exactly the kind we're seeing at the moment, and every time you have another one of these, it adds to the sort of reservoir of distrust and suspicion which both sides have to work so hard to try and overcome. This is never a relationship that we can take for granted, and I think one of the problems that Tony Abbott's had in managing this crisis is he's tended to believe his own rhetoric that this is basically a very strong relationship. It's not. It's basically a fragile relationship that needs to be protected and nurtured very carefully, and I don't think Abbott's response to the Snowden, the spying allegations, has recognised that inherent fragility.
I think it's fair to say that Tony Abbott's characterisation of President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono as one of Australia's best friends is fair enough. He has been a very good friend to Australia, even though the relationship more broadly might be fragile. And that was very important, of course, in the cooperation between our two countries after the Bali bombings and bombings since, which is really one reason why it's critical we get the intelligence sharing back on track at the very least. The head of Indonesia's intelligence agency says that our intelligence officials have assured him Australia will cease all wiretapping activities. Now, this is the kind of promise that the US president made to the German Chancellor Angela Merkel, and the kind of assurance that it seemed to me the Foreign Minister Martti Natalegawa was seeking yesterday when he basically said out loud to Tony Abbott, this happened under another government, just draw a line under it now. Is that the very least you think Tony Abbott needs to do here, come out and publicly say this has stopped and will stop?
Yes, look, I think that is the least. I mean, apart from anything else, President Obama has set the bar internationally for how you respond to these allegations when he promised Angela Merkel that they wouldn't happen again in future. And I think that's the very least Indonesia will accept. But I think there's a risk that the bar has been raised by Indonesia, because the stuff coming out of Jakarta yesterday was a suggestion that what SBY will be asking for in his letter to Abbott is a legally enforceable code of conduct. Now, I don't know what Indonesia might mean by that, but I think that would be much harder for Australia to deliver than the kind of undertaking not to do it again that Obama gave to Angela Merkel. So I do think there's a risk that Indonesia is now driving up what it's going to regard as a minimum conditions for settlement of this, to the point where it's going to be very hard for Abbott to accept.
Yes, because it would imply a closer intelligence sharing. Hugh White, thank you so much for joining us.
That's my pleasure, Fran. Thanks.
Hugh White is Professor of Strategic Studies at the Australian National University.